the Living Farms podcast, the place where we discuss biodynamic practices worldwide for you, your farm, and the planet. So welcome to the Living Farms podcast. We are here today again with Jean-Michel Florent from the section of agriculture at the Goetheanum. And we decided to do a follow-up on the perception project and the perception theory. Because the last time we discussed why perception in general is important for a farmer and for making good farming decisions. And also what kind of different perception theories exist in anthroposophy and how they are maybe applied in the biodynamic agriculture movement. And also the question if there is an objective perception or if it's subjective anyway. So therefore, because this perception is so important, we decided to make a second part of the interview. And today we are going more into the hypothesis of the project, so to say. But feel free to catch up on this topic by listening to the last podcast episode on this. I will link it also in the show notes. So thanks again, Jean-Michel, for joining today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hello, thank you.
And I'm happy to dive into this topic again with you. When we started the project, we had different hypotheses, so to say, how farmers and farming decisions are influenced by perception and how they can be also maybe trained. And we interviewed quite some farmers around the region, but also internationally, how they do this on their farms. And one of our hypotheses was that there are so-called, or we called them, entrance gates to a farm organism, and how these entrance gates could be used for perceiving certain aspects of a farm and how these entrance gates then influence the farming decisions. So could you maybe elaborate a little bit upon this entrance gates of a farm organism and perception?
If we look very closely to the process of perception, there is an interesting aspect that before we are in the conscious perception through the senses, when we come on a place, we get an impression of the whole, like an atmospheric impression, something with this pre-conscious. It's not really conscious. It's not so easy to make it conscious, but we have it in on every new place or place we know. We realize, oh, it's the same atmosphere. It's the atmosphere of my house. If you go for holidays, 2-3 weeks, you come back to your house. Okay, it's my house. It's a very holistic impression, so to say. And I have the impression that in this holistic impression of the atmospheres, there are different, every of us has one entrance, has one possibility to dive in, and it's different. And maybe it's more through the smell or more a certain moment where you feel really connected to the place. But it's an interesting thing because it's not conscious at the beginning. It's more half conscious or not conscious, but you can make it conscious by reflecting about this afterwards. And I think it's one part of these entrance gates. Every of us has specific connections with specific parts of the farm, for example. And if we come on the farm, okay, we are connected, and not on a very conscious way. Or you are not connected, and then you don't get the entrance gate. So it's, for me, one aspect of this understanding, and there are very interesting studies about the question of atmospheres now today, from different philosophers like Gernot Böhme and Jürgen Bockemühl and Bruce Bégout in France, and so on, to be aware of this atmospheric perception and quality.
So when we started the project, we realized that also for us, different entrance gates do exist when we join a farm and when we visit a farm. Could you elaborate maybe a little bit on what kind of entrance gates do exist for you personally when you come to a farm?
Yeah, for me, one entrance gate, I think, to a specific place is a little bit quality of the elements, for example, the quality of light and shadow. I think to a place I have by coming on this place, so a very interesting impression, very first impression of a light quality, specific light quality on the place. It's a garden with medicinal herbs, for example. I remember this first impression. One another aspect, I think I am aware of is the sound, the soundscape, and the landscape of the sound. Yeah, you get a holistic impression of the place if you listen to the sounds, but it's maybe more in the time if you go regularly on a place, because one time there is a specific soundscape, but if you go regularly on a place, you can have this impression, okay, there is a specific soundscape with the animals or all sounds together. Yeah.
And that was actually also mentioned by one of the interviewed farmers that we had, that sound is can be a good entrance gate into perception of the farm organism. And other farmers said that they also perceive the farm organism via the animals, so working with the herd and the animals they have. And others also mentioned that they perceive the farm organism by perceiving the farmer, which I think is also very an important aspect, because that's something which I also recognize for myself when I come to a farm. The farmers normally are so different in their characters, and you can directly relate to how the farm organism then is developed. So, for example, certain farmers, they're just not that early morning persons, so they won't have cows, for example, but they rather maybe have a vegetable garden where it's not so important if you're getting up at 4 a.m. in the morning, or if you're more at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. So I think the character of the farmer also reflects then the development of the farm organism. And also for me, the plants are quite important. So I think with the plants, you recognize a lot of characteristics of the farm itself. And you're also quite an expert in perceiving the quality of certain plants, I think. I find it also very often very interesting how you manage to really perceive the qualities and characteristics, so to say, of specific plants. Maybe you could elaborate a little bit upon that, how you developed this skill and how you trained yourself for perceiving this plant characteristics.
I can say it begins with the quality of the place, to relate and to look where does a plant is growing. So we don't see the plant as a thing separated from the environment, but as part or expression, concrete expression of a place. So first, always relate, try to look at the relationship. Where does a wild plant grow? So for example, dandelion in a wet meadow, or yarrow on a very dry soil, for example. So to make this relation, I think it's important, because it can bring you to the connection with landscape element, and then you can see even the place of this landscape element on the farm. So you go really in the bigger level. And the other aspect to train the perception of the plants is really to look at the plants in the time, because a plant is a living being which expresses itself in the time. So you never, it's like a movie. If you look at one picture of a movie and you say, I know the movie, it's not the case. So to know a movie, you need 1 hour and a half or so. You really need to look the whole story. And sometimes a very small part, 1 minute, is so important for the movie that if you didn't see it, so you don't understand really what is happening. And it's exactly the same for the plants, I can say. Different, the movies are like the plants. The plants were before the movies. But the plants, they express in the time. And they have very specific moments where they are very expressive. I mean, if you miss the blossoming of every plant, I mean, of rose or so, oh, it's green, okay, it's interesting. But if you miss this moment of opening of the flowers, so it's you really miss a big part of the expression of a plant. I mean, if you compare a rose, dandelion, for example, very two different gestures. Or if you also miss how these plants are making their seeds, you also lose a big aspect. These reddish fruits and the seeds are inside, and for the dandelion, you will have all the fruits, the seeds, we are going very far away. So it's so different. So, and if you miss these aspects, you cannot really understand the plant. So that means you really need to train yourself to look at every step from the plant you can see. And perception is not enough, because perception shows you different steps. But in between, you cannot sit in front of the dandelion the whole day and the whole year and look at it. So you have this question, this problem, so to say, that you have to, by thinking, to think what did happen between the step of the leaves, for example, and the step of make the flower. So you have to look very closely, and in between you have to think how this plant transform itself. So it's interesting, because by thinking between the steps you could look at, you come in the flow, you come in the, by thinking, in the growth of the plant. And then you don't feel separated. If you do this, you feel more and more connected to the plant, because you have to make in yourself, by thinking, by your living thinking, the same steps the dandelion, for example, did. So you have to think, first winter, so only leaves on the soil, and then spring, okay, these flowers are coming, and then these wonderful seeds and so on. And you have to think all the steps, but the plant is your teacher. You are not the teacher. The plant should be always your teacher, because the plant makes all this process. And you have to perceive, to look very closely, and to think between the steps you could look at. And then that means you have to be very active. Yeah. And I think it could really help to train living thinking with the plants, because, it's also possible for the animals, but they are moving very quick, and they have so many different expressions. It's a little bit more challenging, but it's also possible for sure. But the plants are, I would say, very, very good teachers to learn living thinking, And then you can apply this kind of thinking also to the whole farm. Similar on the farm organism, you see so many different aspects. When soil, for example, you see plants, you see big trees, you see animals, but can you also try to think by a living thinking to get to think the connections between all these parts? It's a bigger challenge than for one plant, for sure, because a farm organism, the plant, we have the impression we can see the organism, we can see it real. But the farm organism, it's in between, so it's difficult. All the organs are separated. We don't see the connections, so we can only think the connections. But the plant is a very good teacher to train this skill to perceive the connections through thinking. So I make one more step with perception. I say we can perceive with thinking.
Maybe for those listeners that are not so familiar with the farm organism approach, and you just mentioned shortly the different organs of the farm organism. So that's a concept of Rudolf Steiner, who really tried to get together the holistic farming approach, where the farm organism is, as Jean-Michel just mentioned, represented by different organs, and different organs, so to say, stand for different elements of the farm. So, for example, one of the organs may be the animals, one organ may be the plant, one the soil, one the human being. So if you're open to learn more about the farm organism, we invite you for our course in September 2022, where we will do an online course about the farm organism for planetary health. And I think, Jean-Michel, you just mentioned one very interesting aspect about developing the perception of a farm organism and the inequality of a farmer in developing this. And this is the aspect of rhythm that we also had as a hypothesis, that rhythm, be it in a rhythm of the farmer to come regularly to one entrance gate, so to say, so to study one plant or to study one specific animal or to study the different soils of the farm regularly in rhythmic intervals, so to say, may be helpful to develop the skill of perceiving the farm organism, but also to really acknowledge and understand and get in connection with the rhythm of the farm itself. Could you elaborate a little bit on this one? Why rhythm? And I think that's something particularly special on the anthroposophical science or the biodynamic farming. Why rhythm, and in particularly also cosmic rhythms, are important for the perception of a farm?
It's interesting because it's one of the biggest differences with a machine. A machine doesn't have rhythm. A machine should work and work further and further. It would be strange if your car suddenly would go slower and quicker. I mean, you can do it, but if you are on the highway, you want to go always at the same speed. So, and it's a very specific aspect of every living being, rhythm, between expression, between summer and between concentration, winter, seeds, and so on. And it's really for every being very important. And it was interesting what Rudolf Steiner answered to Rudolf Hauschka, the founder from Valla and Hauschka Cosmetics. This Hauschka asked Steiner about life, and Steiner said the best way to understand life is and to support, to support life is really rhythm. And then they develop some remedies with a rhythmic way. That means they make very specific processes in the morning and in the evening, for example. And it's really similar for the farm organism. We realized also in the interviews that for some farmers, they can really connect to their farm in the early morning, for example, or in the evening by milking the cows or so. So it seems that there are specific moments during the day, I mean, the day from sunrise, so always more light, always more opening, so to say, and the afternoon and evening, so to say, darker and darker. And if we look at this rhythm of the day, we can see we have something which we have also every year. So the spring is like morning, and the autumn is like afternoon. So we have always these rhythms, and we have similar rhythms with the moon. We have a moon spring and a moon autumn, ascending, descending moon, and so on. So these rhythms are all similar, and they are supporting life. And I cannot explain why. I can, but I can make you aware of this experience. If you don't sleep for a long time, it will be really bad for you. So you really need to be open, to be conscious, and then to be unconscious, and to be close, so to say, to the world. And it's a very common experience. It's an obvious experience for every of us that we need this rhythm. And we, if we talk too long together, then we are when we need to sleep, and that means we need to make the opposite. Don't talk. And yeah, so it's really one of the biggest law, most important laws of life, I think, and we can experience it really, really. And we should, and for the farm, for sure, it's a very important aspect, because the farmers have to work with the plants, and the plants are very, very sensitive to all rhythms of light and shadow, of night and day, and so on. And they are really healthy when they are connected with the rhythms. There are some research about this, very interesting research. Yeah.
And I think what for me personally as a woman is also quite interesting is also to connect with the female rhythm and perceiving, and to to realize that the perception, I mean, as female beings, we have also this inner spring, this inner summer, inner autumn, and inner winter, and that this kind of rhythm also influences then and interacts with the natural rhythms, as you said, moon and of course seasonal rhythms, and that this can be quite influential in perceiving a farm or in making farming decisions, and that it's always good to reflect upon your own rhythm before deciding something for the farm. And that was also mentioned by one of the participants in the interview, is that she just said that it's important as a female farmer in particular to be aware also of your inner rhythms, because it's different than a male rhythm farming kind of thing. So that I found that an interesting aspect, because that's something that we sometimes try to forget in our society, that that it can have a different rhythm as well, depending on your on your biology, basically. Yes, and one of the aspects we also had in the interviews was the question of interaction between feelings and perceptions. I think we have mentioned a little bit on the first part of it, but our hypothesis was basically that feelings and perceptions can interact with one another. And I would like to read one of the quotes of the interviews for this, because I found it a very touching moment in the interviews. And the person said, "I care for the plants as like they would be my babies. I feel them in my heart as I am working with the love forces in my daily farm work. I see the plants without my eyes. I see them blindly as I feel their energy. Sometimes I feel the energy in my throat if I need to communicate with them by language. Sometimes I feel them in my hands if I need to move some of the etheric forces with my hands to support them. For example, if one plant gets sick, I make a movement to strengthen the plant. This comes intuitively, and I have not learned this professionally. And I think that that quote kind of shows that it's sometimes really good to connect with your feelings. So this person described the feeling in her heart or in her throat, to understand what kind of perception is maybe, or what you perceive from the plant. So it's kind of a reaction to something that you perceive, and then to maybe make a farming decisions which sounds at the beginning a little bit irrational or that you would not expect. But I can tell you from what I've witnessed from this farm, the plants she has, and she really she grows seedlings for vegetable gardens, and these plantlings are like one of the best I've ever seen. So they're so well taken care of, and you really feel that they grow fantastic, and she really cares for the plants, and she makes this based on her own perception and feelings. So I found that quite impressive. And yeah, maybe the question is, Jean-Michel, what kind of experience do you have? Is it hindering to include the own feelings into perceiving the farm, or?
No, I think it's, as I said at the beginning, it's there are two aspects, I think, similar to the perception through the senses with the feelings. It's also a kind of experience first. You make an experience of some feelings. And then I think this quotation is, shows that you can even develop your feelings to connect with the plants. That means your feeling is not for yourself, but it's a possibility also to perceive the plants through the feeling. When it is said, I feel the plants in my heart, it's a kind of perception, but through feelings. So the question, I think, is that our feelings could give us also new perceptions if we don't use them for us on an egoistic way. I feel well, I feel... But if we take these feelings as organs of perception, so to say. So if we use them for the plants or for the animals, so it's a little bit... we can say the empathic way. Yeah? So I use the feeling to feel with, and at the next step, even to feel with the plants, and even, as it's said in the quotation, to connect and to feel the plants in myself. It's a third step, maybe. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So first, I have a feeling. It's for me, wonderful plants, wonderful roses. I'm happy. Okay. But does this mean something for the plant? Don't know. But then I can't really to take this, why do I am happy if I look to this plant? And then I can deepen this and really take this feeling, okay, because this plant is growing like that and it expresses like that. And then I connect, and then I can even try as a next step to take it in myself and try to, maybe you can say, to make the picture of the plant in yourself with the feeling. Yeah, so the plant is not more outside, it's also in yourself. It could be, it seems maybe a little bit strange, but you can try to make it. Everybody can try a little bit. So that the feelings are really a way of perception and not more something from myself, egoistic and totally subjective. It's it's a path to try. Not so easy, but it's interesting to go in this. Yeah.
And I think it shows what is happening often on biodynamic farms, that you really, as a farmer, are in connection with your farm, and that your own perception changes your feelings about your farm, and the feeling the farm changes your perception. So it's like really an interaction with one another, that, for example, if you have the feeling that something is wrong on your farm, you're maybe more eager to perceive what is going wrong, and then you try to use the entrance gates to really understand which part of your farm needs more care, and then your feeling of the farm again changes. So it's really an interaction. And what I really enjoyed about the project that we did, so I will provide the link of the project in the show notes for those of you that are interested. I really enjoyed also that it's something that can be trained, and it's something that you can learn on your own farm and in exchanging with others, and that it's a kind of skill that farmers could use independent from the place they are, but they can really train to perceive plants, animals, farms mm-hmm. as a whole. And that this can really lead to a shift in our way how farming is done in the future. And I think that's probably, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but but I think that's probably why we did this project, because we realized that if you train this perception skill with farmers, that it can really help to make better farming decisions in the future.
For sure, it's one aspect, a very important one, to make better decisions. I think there is also another aspect. One farmer said it, it's a lot of farmers are in a difficult situation today, not only because of money problems or challenges from climate and so on, but also because they don't see the sense, the meaning of what they do. And I think if you can connect more and more with your farm through the perceptions you have and through the feelings you can develop also, then you get your work will get more and more meaning. It will be more and more meaningful for you, because you feel at the end, you feel more and more responsible for a place. So I remember from one friend of mine, we interviewed him, and he said, I don't think I'm so important to make good cheese, because other farmers can make good cheese. I think for myself, it's the most important is to take care of a place, of this specific place. And I know I can take care of this place. I can be responsible for this place and try to develop it in cooperation with soil, plants, and animals, and so and colleagues and other farmers. But it's for me the most important to be responsible for this place and to take care of it in a living way and to make products. For me, it's not the first goal. It's a little bit provocative. One more time. I don't say every farmer thinks like that, but only to point this aspect. And then if you feel responsible, you have a very different situation in the world. You feel very different. Maybe not always so easy, for sure, but much more strength and much more, it's really, you get really a meaning. Yeah.
And again, I mean, it's the same farmer that said by training his perception that he did have better decisions, which really helped him also economically in the long run. So I think it's a win-win situation if you train us. So, Jean-Michel, we were running out of time for this today, and I'm sure we will have to do a third part where we will go into the training methods of perception. But for today, I would really like to thank you again for taking part in the podcast and for your insights. And for those listeners around, I will again link the Perception Project from our website, and also the course that Jean-Michel and I will do in September 2022. And yeah, I wish you a good day, and thanks for tuning in. Have a good time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.